I'll be able to continue those conversations later on after the service. I'd like to pray before we begin. Feel free to open up to John chapter 10. That's where we're going to be kind of working through. But first we'll pray to the God who makes these things possible. Jesus, today we're going to learn about you as a good shepherd and people who hear your voice and follow. I pray this morning that you would take my words and make them yours, that you would use my voice as yours, that people would hear your words to them, that as we open up this passage about you as a good shepherd, you would make yourself known to us. You'd help us to hear your call and to follow with all the benefits that come from being your sheep. Amen. So for work experience at the end of year 10, I did shearing camp. Now, I realise that they don't offer that at every school. They don't have it at Calvin, but they did at our school. So I grew up on Kangaroo Island on a farm with 7,000 sheep. I had very fond memories of my childhood growing up helping Dad in the sheep yards or in the shearing shed or on the motorbike doing a whole range of different tasks. I knew sheep. And I had no real plans in being a shearer, but I'd done work experience in other places already, and so it sounded like fun. So I signed up for it, and it was. Unfortunately, I have no photos of it to prove it to you. But I knew sheep, but I didn't know sheep the way they knew them in Jesus' time. Our sheep lived out in the paddock, which was fully fenced and were mustered by dogs and by motorbikes. Their sheep were looked after by a shepherd who brought them in every evening into a community sheepfold where they were mixed with other flocks and other members from other people in the community. The next morning, the shepherd would go there and the gatekeeper would recognize him. And so the gatekeeper would open the gate and then the sheep would walk out as they heard the shepherd's voice and they would separate from those other flocks. Our sheep weren't like that. They were not that easy to control and to manage. But these sheep knew the voice of their shepherd, and some shepherds knew them so well that they had individual names for each sheep. Again, that's not like ours at all. Now, sheep are regularly used as an illustration in the Bible because they're a very familiar image. They also provide this helpful metaphor of following the voice and the care of a particular shepherd. Sheep were vulnerable on their own. They are defenseless. They were prone to wander off. They needed the care of a shepherd to guide them and protect them and feed them and lead them where they needed to go. And as such, the Bible presents this idea both positively with God as the good shepherd, as Simone talked about earlier, and then also with leaders who were poor shepherds who had failed the sheep, and sheep who had stubbornly refused to follow the voice of God, their shepherd. Now, we all hear voices. Some of those are internal, and others of those are external. Those voices tell us who we are, what we're worth, and what we need. They promise security and a future. And the question is not so much which voices do you hear, but what voices do you listen to? Which voices shape you? Are we capable of living independently on our own? Or is our fatigue and anxiety, our depression and exhaustion, our lack of purpose, exposing us as more fragile than we've ever been? Individualism reigns in our thinking, but is it possible that we are far more like sheep? Sheep who need a shepherd. Because into our world this morning steps Jesus in his own word. Our big idea today is that following Jesus' voice is the only way to a secure future. The rich imagery of sheep and shepherds draws us compellingly towards Jesus. He expertly knows his sheep. Do you know his voice? Do you expect him to speak? Can you recognize it in the rest of the noise? His voice is calling, and it's worth following. So today, let's take a look at why. And the first thing for us to notice about Jesus' voice is that it is backed up with action. There's no false marketing or empty promises from Jesus. Have a look at verse 11. He says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. The wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." Now, being a shepherd is not a clean, sentimental profession where you get to carry around cuddly lambs. It's dirty. It's exhausting. It's tiring and it's rugged. If you're going to follow a shepherd, you have to know that they are capable of going the distance. That they're up for it when it matters the most. The hired hands are not the wicked people that we hear about slightly earlier in the reading, but they just are not as interested in the sheep as they am in their own well-being. When things get gritty, they're not up for it, but they're interested in self-preservation. They're in it for the cash and not the sheep. Whereas Jesus' credentials as a shepherd are backed up in his action for the sheep. He's rugged enough to be in that point of danger between the wolf and his flock. And he's willing to risk his life to protect his sheep. That's what qualifies him as a good shepherd. Now you hear this sentiment from parents sometimes. I love Sally so much. I'd do anything for her. I'd even lay down my life for her. What you're hearing there is the severe value of the child. That value makes the parent selfless. And when it comes to Jesus, he has that value in abundance as he talks about his life ambition in verse 17, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down and the authority to take it back up again." Jesus doesn't just risk his life taking on a wolf. He willingly lays down his life on the cross on Good Friday so that his sheep might be saved. Isaiah 53:6 says that we all had like sheep gone astray. Each of us had gone to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity or the failures of us all. Now, in this audience, I maybe have to say, bar, bar, do, bar, bar. Because there is a number of people who would know what that's about because it's a children's song. Jesus didn't shirk anything. He was gritty enough to go the distance from you when you had wandered away from him. In love, he took your sin upon himself and died in your place. Now, if he was a parent or if he was a normal shepherd, that death would actually make the sheep severely vulnerable. But his resurrection was always part of his mind. Easter Sunday was always part of the Good Friday plan. Jesus laid down his life in order to take it back up again. In doing so, he defeated death, passing through it and going to the other side. Who else would be capable of leading you through that journey? His sheep are not left vulnerable. Verse 28 says that he will give his sheep eternal life and that no threat, no danger, no enemy, not even death can scatter those sheep or snatch them from his hand. Jesus' voice as a shepherd is backed up by action. He is the good shepherd. The second thing for us to notice today is that Jesus' voice is personal. The shepherd and the sheep know each other deeply. Have a look at verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. The deep, loving, unending intimacy that Jesus has with God the Father is the surprising comparison for the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. It's far closer than I was to the sheep I had growing up. And it's actually far closer than you are to anyone. And that intimacy brings implicit trust of the sheep. Have a look at verse 3. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Jesus' life is specifically given for his sheep. He calls them by name. Anthony, Fiona, Sarah, Zach. They hear his voice. And it's the thrilling voice of a child who is lost in a crowd. Paul, Paul. And turn around. They know that voice. It's a friendly voice, and they trust it, and so they follow it, knowing that when they go there, that is a safe place to be. Jesus' voice is worth following because it's deeply personal. No matter how many sheep Jesus has in that flock, he knows them individually by name. They will hear his voice. They will follow. And they will be joined to his flock. Now, this passage begins by aiming at the Pharisees, which suggests that the original sheep pen is one of the Jews. But Jesus' mission is far broader than that. Have a look at verse 16. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them in also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. That flock was wider than the first listeners could conceive. And it includes, I think, nearest I can tell on your background, every person, every sheep that is in this room. Don't slip into functionally limiting Jesus' flock to those that you can see around you. His flock is wider than what is visible to you this morning. It's wider than the children that are born in this church community. Now, occasionally at English Hub, we'll have one of the students say something like, following Jesus is a Western thing, or like a Western faith. But what Jesus suggests here is that that's not the case at all. Jesus is not limited in his flock to drawing from the pen that includes Western people that look like you or that you are related to. Jesus calls by name people from Kingston, and China, and Colombia, and Cameroon, and from the ends of the earth. They will listen to his voice, respond to his call, and become part of his one flock. And it's Jesus who must bring them in. He's personally involved in this mission outwards as he sends his disciples on. He is personally involved in the mission that we have here to Kingston and to all the peoples that God has brought into this region. The glory of Jesus is displayed in the great variety of his people. Have a look around. This room is filled with people who are dramatically not like you in their nationality, in their background, in their social status, in their flaws, in their life stage, and in their age. This gathering doesn't belong together naturally. It shouldn't be together on its own, but that's why Jesus' voice is worth following. No other voice can gather like this group of people that you see here. It is for all types of people. They hear his voice calling Sam and Matt and James and Margaret, and they respond, they follow, and they're joined to one flock under one shepherd. Thirdly, then, Jesus' voice calls you to follow. The clear defining trait of a sheep is their willingness to follow the voice of a shepherd. Have a look at verse 4. When he has bought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they won't follow the voice of a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. We all hear voices, internal and external. They all come with a call to follow. Now, some of those are easy voices to dismiss, but others of those are far more subtle. They promise to make us happy. They promise to make us independent. They promise to allow us to be able to wander on our own. And yet all of those voices will fail to deliver on what they have promised. They cannot cover over our underlying fragility. We are sheep. We need a good shepherd. Have you realized that this morning? Have you been going it alone? Have you been yearning to be accepted and belong as part of a flock or as a community? Have you been ignoring Jesus' voice, which is calling you to follow? Now is the time to turn, to change course, to stop wondering, to ask for forgiveness, and to follow the only voice that can deliver on its promise to give you a secure future. The shepherd goes ahead of the sheep, and they follow because they know his voice. But just to be sure you follow the right one, do you know what to expect when you hear from that voice? Do you expect the voice of a harsh or an overbearing parent saying, "That's not good enough. Do this, fix that"? Do you expect the voice of an overly sentimental grandparent? "It's okay. You're great. Carry on. Here's a lolly." Jesus' voice is like neither of those two voices. He says, "Do you trust me?" He invites his sheep to leave where they are to follow him to somewhere better. He says, "Trust me. This way might be hard. The way might involve sacrifice. But what I offer is better. It brings more joy. It is more lasting. It is more satisfying. Follow me." Now remember, the sheep-shepherd relationship is compared to the relationship between Jesus and God the Father. And the Son, there is no hint at all that the Son is questioning or doubting the love of God the Father. He will follow God the Father anywhere, even to the cross, because he trusts the Father's love for him. Now there is no doubt in Jesus' care for you as his sheep. The cross proves Jesus is for you. His love is undeniable because it's backed up by gritty action. If you know the shepherd personally, let me tell you, you can follow him anywhere. And if you're not fully following him right now, what I want to ask you is, do you know the shepherd? Because if you know him, anything he's going to ask you to give up or to change or to grow in is going to be for your good. He comes to promise life in all its fullness as a fat, happy, healthy, productive sheep. Now, if you follow, you can expect to hear his voice. He goes ahead and you follow. It's a life of learning and growing and trusting and enjoying the shepherd's goodness. Do you expect him to speak? Do you gather here now expecting him to speak? Do you anticipate his voice as you open your Bible at home or as you go along to your small group? Are you listening out for it as you hang out with and chat with other members of his flock? He's not a stranger. He's a good shepherd who calls his sheep to follow. That is the defining characteristic of his sheep. They follow. They depend on him. They grow. And they're incredibly well looked after. And then finally, Jesus gave his flock under shepherds who lead by his word. The Bible is full of warnings about failed shepherds of God's people. And yet that doesn't give us an excuse to go and do the Christian life alone. Because that's not what Jesus expects for his sheep. Jesus, in his wisdom, has given his flock under shepherds to physically speak to, guide, and protect his flock. Consider Paul's words to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Keep watch over yourselves and your flock, and all the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. It is the Holy Spirit that has given the flock elders to be under shepherds to guide you. They have the severe burden of watching over his ultra-valuable flock as men who must give an account. That's what Hebrews 13 tells us. So how do you know if those shepherds are worth following? This passage actually gives us some helpful diagnostics to know whether they are worthy under-shepherds or whether they're just hired hands. Number one, they recognize the chief shepherd and are attuned to his voice, particularly his word. Two, they emulate Jesus' selflessness in placing the well-being of the sheep above their own. Number three, they step up when you're in danger and they don't shrink back from gritty conversations. And then number four, you know their voice personally. And you can recognize it on the phone or in a crowd. I want to commend to you the men who serve as elders of this flock. I thank God for the way they shepherd me and shepherd my family. They are sheep who have their own limitations, but they serve willingly, and I know their desire for your good. I expect that you'll hear from them soon, as this year's care groups have recently been allocated. And those care groups are available in the e-news if you want to know sort of where you land or where other people are. But I want you to encourage them, because those under-shepherds serve you as they serve the chief shepherd. Now, to the under-shepherds among you, I also want to encourage you by providing some diagnostics for sheep who are following the chief shepherd and want to be led. They eagerly follow the shepherd's voice. They desire to grow in faith, in life, and in service of the shepherd. They thank the chief shepherd for you, and they trust him to guide you in their work. They pray for you, and they care for you as a fellow sheep. They'll give up their natural Western inclination to do life on their own, and they'll seek your support. You'll know their voice, not just in criticism, but as a sheep who needs and wants an under-shepherd. And then finally, your work with them will be a joy and not a burden, as Hebrews 13 expects. Thank God for your sheep, for those who want to be led and even for those who bite. because they were purchased with the precious blood of the chief shepherd on the cross. Watch over them. Pray for them. And seek their good. And when the chief shepherd comes, you'll receive a crown of glory that will never fade away. To the sheep, including all the under-shepherds, what voice could guide you through this life other than the voice of the Good Shepherd? He is personally calling your name this morning. Follow me. I have something better for you. Trust me, and I will lead you, feed you, protect you, sustain you, invite and connect you into my diverse flock. He is the good shepherd that can lead you through this life, through death, and back out the other side again. Jesus is gritty enough, loving enough, and powerful enough, and personal enough to walk you through. Follow him as a dependent sheep that needs a shepherd. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for this image that we get in your word of a shepherd who knows his sheep by name, who calls them and they hear his voice and they follow. Father, let that be us. Help us to not ignore your voice when we hear it. Help us not to wander off like sheep who have gone astray. Help us to follow you, to be united to your flock, and to experience that wonderful privilege of having you lead us through this life with all its challenges, dangers, toils, and snares, leading us through death into the place you've prepared for us to be forever with you.